Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Create a brighter future for your employees with Zurich Corporate Pensions. Trust excellence. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
What we're going to talk about now affects every single listener and how you get your energy and what price you will pay for your energy as well. Because according to one expert, Ireland must not double down on its failed reliance on fossil fuels. That's what an energy expert told an Oireachtas committee today, DCU academic Professor Barry McMullen. He warned that while the short-term risks of disruption to energy supplies are real and significant, he said, sticking with fossil fuels would be a mistake. Well, to discuss this further, I'm joined by Professor McMullen, who's a professor in the Faculty of Engineering and Computing at DCU, and also by Don Moore, who's chair of the Energy and Climate Action Committee of the Irish Academy of Engineering and a former MD of ESB International. You're both very welcome to the programme. Let me ask you first, Barry McMullen, about what you're proposing here. Don't double down on our reliance on fossil fuels, you say, as a country. But there are concerns about energy supply, Barry.
There certainly are concerns about energy supply. We have inherited or built up over many years a situation of a high reliance on imported fossil fuels. Disentangling ourselves from that can't be done overnight. But there is a huge imperative on us now for climate reasons, but also for geopolitical security reasons in a very volatile geopolitical environment to get away from that reliance on imported fossil fuels as quickly as we can. It has to be managed. It has to be done carefully. But that is the direction of travel.
So while we disentangle and while we manage our way out of an over-reliance, at least on fossil fuels, would you accept that it may be necessary to look at short-term solutions like an LNG or a liquefied natural gas storage facility in this country?
Well, the LNG has a lot of considerations going into it. We do have concerns about security of natural gas supply to Ireland, and a major disruption to natural gas supply would have very serious impacts. So we do have to tread very carefully there. The question of whether an LNG terminal or some sort of LNG import facility connected to our natural gas grid is either necessary or would be effective in that is an open one. I think you have to go into the detailed risk scenarios that you're considering. It would help with some risk scenarios. It wouldn't help with other risk scenarios.
And where do you fall on it? I'm sure you've considered this in detail.
I fall on it that I think the current benefits of potential benefits of an LNG import facility are outweighed by the problems that it would give rise to. It's not strategic. It's not a long-term situation for us. It's at best a short-term fix, but even getting it available in a short term is probably not very easy. We're already benefiting from the big expansion already underway, already existing in LNG facilities across Europe, because we're connected through the UK to the European grid. So a lot of the benefits of that have already flowed to us through interconnection. The experts are now reporting a significant danger that Europe as a whole will have significant excess LNG import capacity within 5 years. So, you know...
That's a bit of a turnip for the books based on what we're discussing at the moment. Can I bring in Don Moore? Stay with me, Barry, if you will. You more emphatic on shorter term solutions like LNG, Don, for example?
I think Ireland is the only country with a coastline in Europe, in the EU, that doesn't have an LNG import facility. Germany is currently commissioning 5 new LNG terminals. That'll tell you how important they think it is. I think we have to go back to the nub of the matter. The government, in the Climate Action Plan, there's going to be a fourfold increase in renewable energy, offshore and onshore wind primarily, also some solar. Now, all of that has to be backed up when the wind doesn't blow. And this morning, by the way, I looked at the EirGrid website, and a sunny day, there was some wind. Renewable energy was contributing 18% of the electricity. Gas was contributing 53%, and coal some more. So even if we have 3 times the amount of renewable energy, it still has to be backed up. And there is no alternative at this point in time to natural gas.
So what now, do you say to Barry McMullen when he's telling Ireland, he's telling the Oireachtas, don't double down on our failed reliance on fossil fuels?
Does he have an alternative? Right, there are alternatives on the horizon. Green hydrogen is one. Small modular nuclear reactors, an increase in battery capacity, but they're all back out in 2040. For the next 20 years or so, we'll be relying on gas. And in fact, the CRU at the moment, the Commission for Regulation, is actually organising competitions to get more natural gas stations.
Okay, so let me put that grim reality as you see it, or perhaps for the listeners, to Barry McMullen. For the foreseeable future, we're relying on gas, whether you like it or not, Barry.
We absolutely have to have the capacity to generate all our electricity, more or less all our electricity, without wind or solar at any point in time. However, over the next small number of years, we'll be progressively reducing the share of hours in the year where that arises. Okay. So although we have to have that capacity, the amount of gas we'll be drawing down needs to fall. It needs to fall quite rapidly. And every reduction in the amount of gas we're using enhances our energy security. It means we're less vulnerable to disruptions. So it's a difficult balancing act, but we are winding down our position.
But we'll be a long while winding down, based on the figures that Don gave us. If energy output is based on gas for 53% today, renewables 18%, I mean, that's a lot of winding down to be done.
But that's one day. What you have to look at is over the course of a year, whether we're reducing the total amount of gas we use. Because that's, I'm switching there to looking at the case over the course of a year. That does raise a very fair question. I mean, Don has mentioned the build out of new LNG facilities across Europe. But the other distinguishing feature of Ireland is we have no substantial large scale gas storage facility, which most other countries in Europe have. I think there is a strong, reasonably strong case, strategic case to be made. Mm-hmm. For
gas storage. So I'll go back to Don in just a second, but he posed you a question. If we're to move away from the reliance on fossil fuels, what are the alternatives in the short term? Do you have an answer?
I do have an answer. In the short term, we're building out more renewables. That allows fewer hours runtime. It doesn't eliminate gas off our grid in the short term, but it means that the reliance on gas will decline. The actual quantitative reliance on gas will decline even in the short term, even while we're building new generation capacity, because that's only there on call for the peak times when there's little or no wind or solar. So we are unwinding progressively, even while we're continuing to use gas, but at a declining rate. And
but,
even
but
as we're
aren't
continuing
you,
to deploy,
aren't you in a way undermining what you were telling the Oireachtas committee today when you told them to stop, you shouldn't double down, or we shouldn't as a country, on fossil fuels? You're saying build up now. The answer is to build up renewables. But yes, we will have to rely on fossil fuels. That's what I'm hearing from you.
We'll have to maintain a level of generating capacity, but we'll have to try and use it less and less. Okay, so it's a subtle distinction, I agree. In terms of, you know, let's say 5 to 10 years, that will continue to be the situation. But there are now, in gas storage, as Don has mentioned, there's the potential for hydrogen being produced from renewable energy sources. Mm-hmm. Hydrogen has its own challenges with it. There are other models going to other fuels, synthetic fuels.
So there are other options, you say, and that could be developing a lot quicker as well as more research is put into them. Can I bring Don back in for a moment? Sorry, Barry, I'll come back to you in just a moment. Is there a point of agreement between you on more exploration licenses? Don, what's your opinion on that?
Absolutely. The most secure thing of all is to have your own gas field. And we were very fortunate. Over the last 40 years, first of all, we had the Kinsale gas field, and then we had the Corrib gas field, and that provided us with security. Mm-hmm. Now, the government is refusing to either renew or issue new licenses for gas exploration. So our own gas field would be the biggest form of security, absolutely. Could I make one other point, mm-hmm. right? We actually have the highest electricity prices in Europe at the moment, before taxes. Some countries tax electricity, but we are way the most expensive. So we have to be very careful at a time when the climate action strategy is to have an all-electric economy. You'll be heating your house with electricity. You'll be driving an electric car. We must have absolute security of electricity. And we have taken very poor decisions. For example, Barry mentioned gas storage. We had the possibility of storing gas in the Kinsale gas field. It would have cost money, but it would have provided us access. We chose not to exercise that option, and now that option is gone. So we have been living on the edge, and I just think it's a reckless strategy as far as I'm concerned, and it should be less about ideology and more about security for the future.
Would you agree, Barry, on that, and your opinion on more exploration licenses?
Well, the point of more exploration licenses is basically that it's very well established now on a global basis that there is already too much oil and gas identified and in development to be compatible with meeting any tolerable climate limits, tolerable climate action. And the IEA have said this, the IEA representative, that's the International Energy Agency at the Arctic Committee today, repeated it. So any new field you develop anywhere in the world on a commercial basis inevitably will lead to more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. And we already have access to too much fossil fuel to have a tolerable climate. And there simply is no security of any sort without climate security.
Isn't that the fundamental point? And isn't that the trump card that beats all arguments, Don? That if you don't have climate security, forget everything else.
Well, we will have climate security eventually. It takes time.
You can't be proposing continued exploration for fossil fuels on a whim that we will have climate security. It doesn't match.
Do you want to close the economy down here, right?
Do you want to close the world down? That's the question, isn't it?
Well, that's a bit of an exaggeration.
Is it, though?
Quite frankly. I am confident that technologies will emerge between now and 2040,
yeah,
which will in fact phase out fossil fuels.
Okay. And can I put it to you this way, Don? And I know you're one of the most experienced and respected voices in your area, but what if we talk again in 2040 and those technologies haven't arrived or been developed and the world has been warmed way beyond what an awful lot of species, maybe ourselves, can put up with? What do you say then? Sorry, we were wrong.
I'm confident. I have seen the technological advances in my lifetime, and I'm confident, given the amount of investment research that's going on at the moment, that there will be solutions. I'm absolutely confident of that fact. Man's history has demonstrated that over and over again. And now there's a huge drive to come up with these solutions.
Okay.
But we need to be patient. There is a gap. And those solutions will start to arrive sometime, I would say, in the second half of the 2030s. In the meantime, we have to look after ourselves.
Barry McMullen, are you as confident in terms of man's ability to create technological advances that will obviate climate destruction?
Well, I'm afraid, unfortunately, unless we advance technologically to the point of inventing a time machine, we've run out of time. It's not like we have to, and this is very clear from the climate science, and you just have to look at what's happening, unfolding around the world in the last few years. You look at the WMO saying we'll already have a full year above more than 1.5 degrees over pre-industrial, better than two-thirds chance within the next 5 years. We're living on a different planet, the planet our species evolved in at this stage. Mm-hmm. We're out of the so-called Anthropocene. The time has gone. We cannot wait any longer for these technological advances. And I'm an engineer, and I'm as enthusiastic as Don is, and I see a lot of technological potential, but we can't kick that can down the road. We have to reduce emissions this year, next year, the year after. 2030, we need to be reduced by half. at least relative to 2018. Okay. The time is just not on our side.
Well, instead of saving us, technology might get us before any of that happens. I'm seeing here that Sam Altman, who's the one of the creators of ChatGPT, speaking at a conference in London, he's saying that artificial intelligence could lead to the extinction of humanity. And there you go. It might get us before climate action.
Could I make
really
one
briefly,
last
if
point.
You don't mind? Yeah.
Yeah. One last point. We took a decision back in 1979 not to build a nuclear power station in Ireland, right? Instead, we built Money Point, which is the biggest single emitter of CO2 for the last 40 years. We're now actually building an interconnector to France to import nuclear power from France. So we have to be careful we don't let emotion actually overrule logic in these decisions.
Don Moore and Professor Barry McMullen, thank you very much indeed for joining us in the programme.